How do you do? Millions of people around the world live in grinding poverty with no hope of improving their lives. Legally or illegally, many flee to other countries. The man in this story was one of them. He didn't realize that we are all strangers and pilgrims on the earth, heading for a city that has been prepared for us. But he now knows, since he reached a place where his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
The engine overheated.
What if immigration comes along? They'll get all of us.
That's your problem, man. I got to let the truck cool off.
Come on. Let's go hide in the bushes till he's ready to go again.
Too many of you back there, that's what. It's overloaded in this heat. Hey, you guys, get down. There's a truck coming, and it could be immigration.
Where were the INS? Need some help?
Nah, just overheated, that's all.
Out here alone, are you?
Yeah, last time I looked.
Yeah, then what are all these footprints leading away from your truck out to those bushes?
Beats me.
Search both sides of the road, men. We have loose cargo. All right, come out of there. You're under arrest.
Dramatizing true life stories that proclaim the good news, this is Unshackled, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Many homeless people have been forgotten, ignored by families, abandoned by friends, but they're not forgotten at Pacific Garden Mission. Folks here pray every day for street people, and those who come to the old lighthouse receive nourishing food, clean clothing, and a safe place to sleep, and all without charge. The mission also provides medical and dental care, classes and counseling to help these men and women make a fresh start. All this is made possible as those who care about the homeless remember to share their resources. And for those who find new life, the only thing that's forgotten is their past. And now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 2541 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. The man in our story was born in San Nicolas, Mexico, not far from Guadalajara. Like many in his country, his family was very, very poor. All he wanted growing up was to get away somewhere, somehow, and make a new start. This is the story of how he almost didn't. The true story of Manuel Haro, right now on Unshackled.
My childhood was terrible and sad, not just because of the hunger, but because my father was an alcoholic and he and mother fought constantly. He didn't have time for us, he didn't talk to us, never showed us any love. I grew up with bitterness in my heart. And my brother Lupe hated my dad so much, he wouldn't even eat with him.
Hey, sir, shut up, get out! Get out of here! Get out!
Poor mama.
Yeah. She tries to help us and gets in trouble every time.
Is he still at the table?
Yeah. He's almost finished, though. You better go in while there's still something left.
I'm not going in till he leaves. Mama will save something for me.
Oh, he's in a real bad mood today.
It's better just to stay away from him.
You know, Lupe, other fathers are not like that. He is so mean. I can't wait to grow up and get away from here.
As soon as I can scrape up enough money, I'm going to the States.
I'm right behind you, Lupe. As the years passed, I yearned for the day I could get married, proclaim my independence, and leave home. I was 17. I became friends with a girl whose father owned a grocery store. Ernestina and I began dating. And later, when we ran off and got married, her father was very angry with me. But after a while, he received me into their home, and I asked her forgiveness. The first months of our marriage were happy, but problems began when I started drinking and spending time with girls I had dated before my marriage. And we began to fight just like my parents, even about the same things.
Why do you stay out late and leave me alone?
I told you, I was with friends.
You don't love me anymore.
Yeah, not when you bug me.
You were dancing with that girl again, weren't you?
So, what if I was? Dancing doesn't mean anything. You
know? How can you do that to me? You said you loved me.
Look, love doesn't mean I won't look at other women, Ernestina. I am a man.
What kind of husband are you? I should leave you.
All right, go ahead and go. I don't care.
I hate you, Manuel. Oh. All you do is hurt me. I hate you.
You want to leave me? Then go. Go on.
Go on. Get out of here.
I loved my wife and didn't want her to leave. But my pride made a pretense of not caring. Our fighting escalated until my dad came by and threatened me. I was afraid of him, so I seldom hit her anymore. Then came our first son, and she hoped I'd treat her better, maybe even stop drinking. The truth is, I was very glad to be a father, but we were so poor. We were living in a room my grandfather loaned to us, and I continued in my vices, convinced that I needed an escape from poverty.
Look at our baby, Manuel. He is so beautiful when he sleeps.
Yes. What kind of life will he have?
We will love him.
Oh, love isn't enough, Ernestina. We can't live like this.
We don't have a choice, Manuel.
Look at us. This room has nothing. It keeps the rain out and that's all. No way to cook. You don't have water. You can't even clean the baby's diapers.
Manuel, I know it's hard, but
it's impossible. I'm going to look for work in the U.S.
What about the baby and me?
No, I will send you money as soon as I get a job. I got some money together and went up to Baja California to cross the border at Mexicali. There were 12 of us who walked all night and the following morning. Just after noon, we came to an orange farm and hid from immigration while we waited for the truck that finally picked us up and headed for Los Angeles. Then the truck broke down and immigration found us.
Manuel, you're back. Oh, you changed your mind.
No, I didn't. Immigration caught us and sent us back.
You were gone so long. I thought you made it.
They locked us up for 11 days.
Maybe it was never meant to be.
No, we were just unlucky, that's all. We were on our way to Los Angeles when the truck overheated. Of all the bad luck. We tried to hide while it cooled down, but there was no place.
Oh, it must have been terrible.
I've never been so thirsty in my life. We walked all night and all morning without food or water.
I'm sorry, Manuel. I know you wanted to go.
I will go. Oh, we were so close.
Maybe it's better if you just stay here and work.
Doing what? We'll never have a life here. I lasted only a few months at home, long enough to get some more money together. My older brother, Raul, who moved to Pasco, Washington, offered to pay my expenses and pick me up if I could get to San Francisco.
Manuel, you made it happen!
Oh, hey man, this is great. San Francisco at last. Yeah. Oh, thank you for helping me, Raul. Well,
tell me how you got here.
I went to Tijuana, found a man who walked with me to Chula Vista.
Yeah.
From there, we hopped the freight to Los Angeles. Someone met us and brought us here.
No hassles this time, huh?
No, not a one. Hey, you think I can find work up there?
Oh, you bet. There's all kinds of farms in Washington where you can work. No questions asked.
Oh, good thing. My English is terrible.
You'll pick it up fast.
Oh, man, it's great to be here. Life is gonna be good from now on, huh? I went to work on a grape ranch in Pasco, Washington, and dreamed of building a house in Mexico. I planned to send nearly all the money I earned home to my wife and son. But my good intentions withered as I made new friends. As I gambled and drank with the other men living in the apartment with me, before I knew it, more than a year had passed, and I had hardly thought of my family. I wasn't saving any money because I had no control over my vices. I knew If I didn't do something, I would lose my family.
Hello?
Ernestina, it's me, Manuel.
I thought you forgot about us.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I should have called sooner.
When are you coming to see us, Manuel?
No. I want you to come here and live.
You mean it?
Oh, yes. I miss you and the baby.
Oh, he's not a baby anymore, Manuel. He's 2 years old.
Oh, I know. Can you come?
I don't have any money to travel.
Oh, no, I'll send you some. If you can get to Tijuana, I'll meet you there.
Then I will come.
I brought my wife and son to Washington illegally, like me. We were happy at first. I had work and I felt good having them with me. We lived with another couple in order to absorb living costs, but I couldn't resist my old vices of gambling and drinking. I spent what little money I made. Problems erupted between my wife and me, problems that grew worse every month. Toward the end of 1976, we were barely holding together.
Manuel, we cannot go on like this.
You are never satisfied. Never. I brought you here, and you are still not happy.
Because you're wasting your life.
Oh.
All you do is go out with your so-called friends and spend your money on booze.
You shut up.
I won't. I can't take anymore. I can't.
You bring it on yourself. You always after me to change. But I don't want to change. You hear me? Just leave me alone.
I will leave you alone. I will go back to Mexico.
Who's that?
Probably one of your friends.
Shh. No, it isn't. I can see him through the window. It's a tall man with some kind of book. I don't recognize him. Oh, Ernestina, I think it's one of those immigration agents. Oh, no, they found us.
What are we going to do?
I don't know. I am afraid to open the door.
As Manuel wrestled with fear, his rescue was at hand, and we'll hear about that in just a moment. Do you get discouraged about our ability to win the war on drugs? Well, we have some encouraging news. As lives have been transformed, we broadcast the good news through Unshackled so that others may hear and come out of darkness. And we'd like to offer this effective evangelistic tool to you free of charge. A collection of 3 comic books drawn by Florida artist Bill Waters that retell these same true stories with dramatic pictures. Donna Disser, Jack Martin, and John Sanders' stories are typical of someone enslaved by drugs and sin. The hopelessness and despair of their lives are vividly captured in these booklets and serve as a warning on the danger of drugs. Each one vividly portrays how God's love and grace can reach any person, even the most hardened and hopeless. Nothing is impossible with God, and they faithfully replicate an Unshackled story, originally broadcast on radio, and each one concludes with a presentation of the gospel, describing how you can pray for salvation. To get your free copy of one of these unique comic booklets, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
We can't run. I might as well get it over with.
Hello. My name is Guillermo Yant. Could I have a word with you?
Yes. Come in.
Thank you.
Sit down, please. My name is Manuel, and this is my wife, Ernestina.
I'd like to talk to you about Christ.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm not really interested in religion.
Oh, Jesus offers something greater than religion. Do you know if you'll go to heaven when you die?
No, I don't. How can anyone know?
Well, the Bible says you can be sure. In John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life."
I didn't know that. My dad came to the States once and had a Bible when he returned, but my mother destroyed it.
Do you believe you're a sinner, Manuel?
Oh, yes.
God says we're all sinners. Sin is a condition of the heart. Everyone is born that way because we were all born separated from God, thanks to Adam. But God sent Jesus to die for our sins.
I know. He was crucified on the cross.
Willingly. He died willingly for our sins. He volunteered to die in your place because God says the penalty for sin is death.
He died for me?
Yes. And because he is the Son of God, his death erases your sin record. His blood shed for you can make you clean.
These are strange things you're telling me.
Manuel, do you believe in hell?
Yes.
Jesus holds the keys to death and hell. Let me read from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, beginning at verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
Oh, that's pretty scary, man.
Not if you're in Christ. There were two men crucified with Jesus.
Yes.
Both of them were thieves, headed for hell, but one of them believed Jesus and asked Christ to save him. Do you know what Jesus said?
No.
Look here in Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Even though the man was a sinner, Christ forgave him and accepted him. Manuel, all you have to do to be saved is believe in these truths about Christ. Would you like to repent of your sin and ask God to save you?
Yes. Yes, I would. What about you, Ernestina?
I want to be saved, too.
My wife and I both repeated the prayer of salvation that day in September. The following Sunday, we were baptized and began attending the church Pastor Yant had just started among the Hispanics. Our marriage was healed as we daily read the Bible and prayed for each other, our family, and our neighbors. Right away, Pastor Yant took me soul winning.
You explained the gospel very clearly that time, Manuel.
Oh, thank you. Well, nothing is more important to me now than telling others about Christ. My heart is so bursting with love for him.
You should think about joining our preacher's training class.
Oh, me? Oh, no. I am just a poor man from my little village in Mexico.
God doesn't care where you're from. All he wants is a willing heart.
I'm thinking about going home to tell our families about Jesus. We sent them money and tracts, but now we must let them see what Jesus has done.
Well, good for you. We'll pray for you, Manuel. You'll have a lot of opposition.
I took my wife and son with me back to Mexico, and the pastor was right. Opposition came everywhere I witnessed. Not only that, but I wasn't faithful to my testimony. I went out drinking with my friends and felt very ashamed before God. I told my wife we had to go back to the U.S., and she agreed. We tried to cross the border at Tijuana, but twice the authorities stopped us. There has to be a way. What are we going to do, Ernestina? You know, if we don't make it this time, we'll have to go back to San Nicolas.
I don't want to go back, Manuel.
I don't either. There's no Bible-teaching church here. We need God's people to help guide us.
We can't give up. Surely God will help us.
Yes. Let's pray, Ernestina. God can make a way for us. Lord, please, please help us get back to Pasco safely. We need to get our spiritual life back on track. If you get us back to the church in Pasco, I will give my whole life to serving you. We tried again by traveling across the border in the trunk of a car. We were a bit uncomfortable, but we made it. Back in Pasco, I remembered my promise to God and went to see Pastor Yant.
So, God is calling you into the ministry, Manuel. How does your wife feel about that?
She said if it's from God, then she will go wherever he sends me.
Good. You'll make a fine preacher.
Even though I failed him back in Mexico?
Every believer fails some way, Manuel. Even Peter did. Ask God for forgiveness. Remember what God's word says about sin and his forgiveness?
Oh, yes. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
That's right. God promises to finish the work he has begun in you.
Pastor, someday I want to go back to Mexico and preach the gospel. The people in my village have no one to tell them that God loves them and Jesus died for them.
God put that desire in your heart, Manuel, and he will accomplish it.
If I don't fail him again, I wasn't ready. There's something else, too. I am in this country illegally.
Oh, you should do what is necessary to become a legal resident, Manuel.
Yes. Yes, I will.
I want you to memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it."
I worked and went to Bible school, training to become a pastor. But nearly a year went by, and I did nothing about my illegal condition. And then, one day, as I was driving to work with a friend, immigration agent stopped us. And since I had no documents, I was arrested.
What are you doing in this country anyway?
Well, I came here to work, but God is making me a preacher, telling others about Jesus Christ.
How can you believe in God when he lets bad things happen to you? Just look at you. You're in jail.
Well, God has a purpose for everything. I broke your laws, and God is never pleased about that. He knows what he's doing. You know, the Bible says he works all things out for good for those who love him.
You might change your mind when you go back to Mexico.
I'm praying that he will let me stay in this country to finish my training. But if he doesn't, it's okay. His plan is always better.
Manuel, I've talked with the immigration officials and they're planning to deport you. I've come to say goodbye.
I'm disappointed, Pastor, but I still trust in God.
Keep the faith, Manuel. Stay in the Word.
When I was first arrested, I thought maybe God didn't want me to be a preacher. But that was just Satan trying to discourage me.
Maybe you can go through the right channels to become a legal resident.
I should have listened to you. It's better to do things the right way.
I have to go now. The agent is coming to take you downstairs. God bless you, Manuel. I'll be praying for you.
So, Manuel, do you have a lot of faith?
Not as much as I should have.
These are your papers. You can stay in this country as long as you return to Mexico voluntarily when you finish your training.
I can stay?
Mm-hmm. That's what it says.
I finished my Bible training the next year and took my family back to Mexico in 1980. I began preaching right away, and my wife's family responded to the gospel. But I also ran into opposition, especially from my father.
Si, Don Manuel, I was just having lunch. Are you hungry?
Oh, I can always eat some of Mama's cooking.
So I've heard you've been preaching.
Yes, Papa. Everyone needs to know that God loves them.
I don't like it. People are mocking me, calling me brother or hallelujah.
All people have always mocked Jesus. Even when he healed people and raised the dead. Papa, don't let it bother you.
Why do you have to be so different?
Because I love the Lord, Papa.
People don't want to hear it. They're angry with you and with us.
Is it better to let them die in their sins and go to hell? No, no. Jesus came to save us from our sins and give us eternal life. I must tell them.
I don't want to hear it.
No, but...
Get out of my house right now. And don't ever set foot in here again, you hear? Get out!
Papa, please.
Papa.
All right, I will go.
No, don't.
Manuel. Manuel, I love you. Please, don't feel bad about what happened.
Oh, God. Oh, God, how can I reach him? Mama, if you and Papa only knew how good the Lord is, how much he loves you.
I believe you, Manuel. You can always come back and visit me.
Three days later, my mother received Christ as her Savior. I had many threats and physical attacks from people in my town who didn't want me to preach the gospel. But I continued for the next 10 years. We built a church there as the number of people saved continued to grow. And all that time, my father never came to see me. But finally, in 1990, I left our church in the hands of another pastor and moved my family back to Washington, legally this time. In 1995, my church in Mexico invited me back to preach.
So you're still at it, huh?
As long as I live, Papa, I must tell of God's love.
You're consistent, I'll say that.
And your grandson plays the piano at church and leads the choir.
Who would believe that?
Well, all things are possible with God, huh? Would you like to come and hear me preach?
Oh, I don't think so. I get a lot of it right here at home from your mama.
Oh, Jesus loves you, Papa.
I know.
Can I tell you a beautiful Bible verse?
Oh, I think you will, no matter what I say.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Yes, it is. I wish I had read that Bible the man gave me many years ago.
Do you believe it, Papa?
Yes, Manuel, I believe it.
Then would you like to pray to receive Jesus as your Savior?
Yes, son. Yes, I would.
My father accepted Christ as his personal Savior in 1995, and he is now faithfully following the Lord in the church we built. God has given us 5 sons, all of whom follow Christ. I am now assistant pastor in Pasco, Washington. Listen to me. Jesus came to set us free. And if you are willing, God will use you just as he used me to reach many others for Christ.
What a dramatic change. And friend, God is no respecter of persons. What he did for Manuel, he will do for you. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Whatever your past, whatever the sin and failure, God's mercy and grace are freely given to all who believe. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Invite him into your heart and life right now. To learn more about new life in Christ, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. This is program number 2541. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Have you ever written to tell us how these true testimonies affect you? Well, we'd like to know, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Remember, someone is always there to help you through a crisis. Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462.